This message was recorded live at the Life Church UK building. We hope that you are truly blessed and encouraged by today's message. For any more information, please visit us online at lifechurchuk.org.
Now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Those verses within their parts kind of live in my heart. And they came into my heart, and this is a little thought for you. It's when I was listening to Brother Osteen in 1980. Brother John Osteen was preaching on this cassette series, and I would listen to these cassettes. And in those days, you didn't have the technology we have today. You had cassettes in your little Walkman. That was the cool thing, to have a Walkman. And the Walkman, you put a cassette in, it's about that big. I still have one. I have a Walkman. And it works. It works. And I still have those cassettes. Anyway, but he would quote chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. And by him speaking it, it came by the Holy Spirit into me. And it lives there. Comes out of me all the time in my praying, in my reasoning, in my thinking. Yes, read it out loud, praying, but let yourselves hear the preaching. I read for so many years John 14, verse 16. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you the Comforter, who the world cannot receive, for it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he abides with you, and he will abide in you forever. I read that so many times, that verse 16. But then I was in a meeting and Brother Reinhard Bonnke was preaching and he spoke that scripture. That scripture I've always read. And it's like the anointing in him bore witness of that living word and it exploded in me. And it eradicated some of the arguments that the devil kept attacking me with. Oh, you don't feel the anointing. Oh, what did you do wrong? Oh, it's left you. The Spirit's left you. That was the devil. But I did not notice it, that it was the devil. And I would say, oh God, please, please take not your Holy Spirit from me. Psalm 51. Cast me not away from your presence. Psalm 51. But that was completely wrong. But I didn't know until it came alive by the Holy Ghost in me. Then I've never, ever had that again. And the devil dare not come to me with those lies that the Spirit has left me when Jesus said he will abide in you and with you forever. Boom! Goodbye, devil. Hello, God. So I believe in the power of preaching. And you could sit there and the pastor, without him naturally knowing what's going on in your life, but the Lord does, and the Lord uses his mouth to speak his word with such a confirmation of what you've been meditating and praying and thinking, and it explodes in you, and that's it. The argument's over for the rest of your days. Oh, folks, this is very powerful when you begin to realize that it works this way. Today we're going to talk about being rooted and grounded in love. Your roots, listen, Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And he says, the sower sows the seed. Some falls by the wayside, the birds come, and it's gone. And he showed the birds were demons. So that the devil comes and argues with the thought you got from the word, and you don't know it anymore. It's gone out of you. He stole it. That's what it says. And then he says, some fell on shallow ground. And immediately it sprung some root. But then when the heat of the day came, the root was too shallow and it withered away. And he shows you, when you get an impulse of the Spirit in you, if your roots are not deep enough, you can't hold that impulse. You can't hold that manifestation. You lose that manifestation through just the traumas of living daily. That manifestation is gone out of you because you have no root. So when your roots grow stronger, you can hold the manifestation. You can hold the spiritual consciousness of it. Many people, they get phenomenal inspirations, but it doesn't last. because they have no root in them. They really get phenomenal revelations. Oh, if you talk to them at that moment of revelation, you hear heaven coming out of them. But the next moment you hear hell coming out of them, and they couldn't hold it. They could not hold the spiritual revelation because the root was not deep enough. So it is so important that your roots are so strong and so deep. And I'll tell you one other reason why this is important. One of these days you're going to be old. It's just going to be part of this journey. And whatever roots are in you will show your character. And it's going to be a bit late then to develop some of those roots. I had a son complaining about his dad's unclean behaviors that he had to live with because he's living with his dad. And I said, how much older is your dad than you? In other words, yeah, you could see your dad, but give yourself 30 years and you'll be there. Well, some roots take quite a bit of time to develop. They don't come overnight. You get that seed in you, you meditate on it, you pray on it, you reread it, and the pastor is preaching, he pops that root in you, and you feel that manifestation in you because it lives in you, and he bears witness with the Spirit to what lives in you, and it's being fed, and it's growing and growing and growing. And then as you get old someday, there's the nature of the root. You'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. You know the roots that are there by the fruits you have. I look at my mama sitting there at 96 in that chair, completely at rest in God. Absolutely no agitations of the flesh. No complaining, nothing. Then I start just talking to her, and instantly she lights up, and there's the beauty of the heavenly life. It takes, and she wakes up. I mean, how much does it take you and me to wake up? How much does God need to move on you before you begin to spiritually manifest, to feel the anointing, to feel the presence? That shows you how big your roots are. It should be just, and you feel it. Bop, you connect with it, because that's what lives in you. Can you hear this? And we want to be people that can grow up and mature. You know, one man came to me and he said, Pastor, I was in church where the pastor decided everything for me. And if I had anything, I would come to him and he'll show me what to do. And now I come to Life Church and you never tell me what to do. I'm not used to this. And some people, they would like that, for a pastor to think for them, talk for them. No. I wouldn't like that at all. I want to listen to your heart and I hear the Spirit and I hear the mind of Christ. And I hear the word and I go, come home to Virginia and say, oh my goodness, so-and-so. Oh, I felt such a glory coming out of them. It was heaven to me. That's the kind of church you want. Amen. I would never want to be your master. Jesus is your master. No way. Okay, let's start. For this reason, Ephesians 3:14, and he teaches you in those chapters some phenomenal manifestations. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. Yes, so the Father in heaven, of those who are already in heaven, and us that are on earth. Folks, don't ever have your doubts that the moment you leave this body, you're in the presence of the Lord. Don't ever have your doubts about it. If you have questions about that, read 2 Corinthians 5 and read Philippians chapter 1, and then look at Moses, my servant, Joshua chapter 1, is dead. And then in Matthew 17 and Luke 9, Moses is on the Mount of Transfiguration. Look at John chapter 11. He who believes in me, even though he dies, yet he shall live. I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, before the resurrection of Jesus, they were in a place called paradise, or also called the bosom of Abraham. They were being kept there for the seed of the promise to manifest, and that they would rise with him and go from paradise up to heaven. Now they're in heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven but Jesus Christ alone. They all had to wait for that. But, oh, folks, there's so many glorious things about all. I have no doubt about it. The moment my lights go out, boom, I'm there. Yeah, and I'm so happy I have to believe that about you too. Right? We'll miss you. Try not to go yet. Okay? But anyway, Here we go. That he, listen, the Heavenly Father would grant you, listen closely, verse 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, through the Holy Spirit living and making his home in you, that the Holy Spirit will take out of the rich treasury of his glory and begins to reveal in you. John 16, verse 14, Jesus says, in verse 12, he says, I have much to share with you, but you cannot bear it now. But when the Holy Spirit has come, why could they not bear it? If he began to speak about this heavenly life that he would have in the Father and that he would reveal it in them, I couldn't connect with that. So he understood, you cannot understand it yet, because it can only be spiritually understood, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It can only be understood by the Spirit. What your eye cannot see, what your ear cannot hear, what your heart cannot perceive, has now been made manifest to us by the Holy Spirit, all that the Father has freely given us in Christ. You see, you've got to become spiritually alive to connect with these things. And it's important as a pastor that I remember that, because sometimes I talk out of what's normal to me, but it's a mystery to those who are not born again. They cannot understand it. And if you don't have Jesus, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. 1 John 14, verse 16, the Holy Spirit whom they cannot receive. You cannot receive the Holy Spirit unless you have Jesus. You got to have Jesus to have the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible teaches. Very clear, folks. So we cannot explain these spiritual things to people that are not born again. But we got to just simply talk to them about Jesus who came to give his life for them. And as they receive him and become spiritually alive, then by the Spirit they can begin to understand these things. And he says, now, by the Holy Spirit in you, these riches of his glory will become real in you. Right? And Jesus said, I told you a moment ago from John 16, I have much to share, but you cannot understand it now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will take what is mine and unveil and reveal it in you. Now, if you take that little thought right there, the Father will do it. So what is it that you don't yet embody, that you don't carry yet, that you don't see manifest in you? I have a lot of things that I really am living every day in a Holy Ghost expectation that the Father is going to unveil it in me through his Son. Completely. There are many things that I have the privilege of enjoying that the Father reveals through his Son in me. And I know it is the Son that is making that possible. Peter says, don't look at me. It's not my virtue or godliness that made it, my power or godliness, virtue that made it happen, but Jesus. Jesus. And friends, there's a lot of things in us that you may say, well, too much of self, not enough of Jesus. Have faith. He will bring you to fullness. Not in the by and by, but here and now. Believe it. Strive for it. Press for it by faith. Hold on to the hem of his garment and believe that virtue will begin to flow so strong in you and drive out of you all the carnality of the sin nature and manifest in you all the heavenly nature. Oh, I'm so happy I believe that I can have faith for people who come to this church who are completely a mess, because I believe Jesus makes new hearts and minds and new creations. And I have that faith for people who stumbled and fell. And I believe. And I believe my Savior came into the world to save sinners. Say amen. Amen. So believe that as the Holy Spirit is living in you, and he is in you, that he would grant you, woo-hoo, out of the rich treasure of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in you. So that what? Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, here it comes, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, somebody could talk to you about God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. God is love. You could say, okay, I believe that. I wouldn't know what it looks like. I don't know what it feels like. I don't understand it. Jesus is the key. He's the key. All you need to do is let the Heavenly Father reveal His Son in you, and you get a revelation of love. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. You know, one man who was really sinning and causing much sorrow and pain that made me feel a lot of pain, because the people that he was hurting are people I love deeply. And he texted me one day, and this love just came out of my innermost being, rooted and grounded in love. It lives in you. It comes up in you, because that's what lives in you. And it just came up in me. And I said to him, the love I feel for you right now comes straight from the heart of Jesus. No, I said, I love you with all my heart. And then he texted me back and he said, how can you love me knowing what I've done? I said, because the love I feel for you comes straight from the heart of Jesus. My dear friends, we are all so terribly limited in our ability to love. And we're often so selfish in our love. You know, I've done all this for you and you won't do that for me. That's not God's love. That's not the kind of love that comes from God. Some people, they walk around with hurts and pains because they love people but didn't get it in return. I don't live there. No. They only choose friends that love them. I don't live there. I will not live there, because then you often have no friends at all. I have friends everywhere. I love having friends everywhere. I'm in the grocery store where Cynthia works, and they're all my friends out there, even when they're moody and grumpy, you know, because they're working hard and a lot of stress and pressure. I love it. I have friends everywhere. Why? I live out of that reservoir of love that is like bigger than the universe. It's inexhaustible. It's unlimited. It never diminishes or becomes less or faints or grows weary or can't bear the demand. Whatever demand is made upon it, it is sufficient. Look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. The demand made upon him, and he did not fail in love. Father, forgive them. And he said to the murderer at his side, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh man, wouldn't that be the thing? That when you are being totally crushed and demolished, what comes out of you is this love for people who don't deserve it. I want to live that way. I choose that. I pursue that. And I want to be so rooted and grounded that that is the nature of my life. I don't want to be old one day. And my sons and my daughters and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren sit around me and, yeah, I'm a grumpy little empty shell. I'm a little drooling away with all this, because I'm ugly, I'm mean, I'm cruel, because life has been tough. I don't want to be that. But the only way I won't be that is by being grounded, rooted and grounded in love. His love, not just any kind of love, not some selfish love. Folks, I've had men call me who are in their 70s and they're tormented with self-gratification and having physical problems and they can't stop. But don't think old age will set you free from uncleanness. Jesus is the fountain of life, Zechariah 13, verse 1, that will cleanse you from all uncleanness. You don't have to be unclean and tormented by lusts and tormented by angers and tormented by resentments. That's all the lack of love. I don't know about you. I don't like to live tormented. I like to live in that sweetness of love and, oh, it's happy and it gets more and more powerful and it begins to completely dominate my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, my thoughts, my feelings and everything. I choose to be compelled, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, by love. Can I hear an amen? Rooted and grounded in love. If you say, Pastor, I'm a born-again Christian. Christ is in me. But you hate. You're not in the truth. Read 1 John. You're not in the truth. You're living a lie. You cannot have the life of Christ and continue to hate. You can't do it. You can't do it. Why? His loving nature won't let you. His loving nature will tell you. And you feel the groaning and yearning of his spirit struggling against that hate and saying, no, 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 I am love, not hate. No, hate is of the flesh. Hate is the sin nature. No, no, hate is of the darkness. No, and you inwardly reject it. That shows you're born again. If you do not inwardly reject it, you're not born again. You're still dead. You're just religious. You may get emotions, but you have no new life. The new life is proven by a new nature. And the fruit of his spirit is what? Can they hear it?
Love.
Love, yes. Say amen.
Amen.
And we better walk in the truth, folks. So that you may be rooted and grounded in love. And then he says, and may be able. Oh, how I love to be able. I'm able. I'm able. Yes, my God is able. He's able. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God and so forth. Oh, the next verse, so powerful. You may be filled with all the fullness of God. That the Amplified says that you may become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself and may have the richest measure of the divine presence. I like to live in that divine presence every day. How about you? Oh, how I love to feel the love of my Father. And it's becoming more and more and more and more. And I am seeing his love conquer areas in my life that I used to not understand, where my natural nature had its pains, my natural nature had its wants, had its needs, had its struggles, where there were, you know, pains of feeling rejected or not loved, not wanted. And yes, I don't serve them, but they're there. And he's liberating me from all of that. Because I'm accepted in the Beloved according to the riches of the glory of his grace, Ephesians 1 verse 7. I'm accepted, not rejected. And yes, I've suffered some rejection in my lifetime, to say the least, in some of the ways that had an effect on me. And yes, I kept walking in faith, but they were there, these wounds and these scars. And the Lord heals. And some of you maybe have some pains, and okay, they're part of your nature, and they maybe hide itself, but they're there. And the Lord would say, I want you healed. This is the year of wholeness and health and well-being. This is the year that you are going to have a different heart and mind. Because some of us, you know, if somebody maybe acts in a way they're going to maybe not like what you say, okay, no, it's nice to see you. I'll see you later. That's all that dysfunction, that insecurity. That's all that pain still being the master. And you're frightened if somebody's going to maybe act like they don't like you, they don't love you, or don't agree with what you say. Come on, come on, come on. That's unhealthy. That's not the love of my Savior. That's not the nature of my Father. He was wounded. He was despised. He was rejected. He bore all of that so that you could be healed from all of that. I'm serious tonight. This is your year. I'm stepping out of all these pains and sorrows, all these fears, and all these qualms that have tormented me. And yes, I kept them in faith. And yes, I kept saying, oh, Lord, I'm yours. And no, I don't live in it. But it's still nature. It's still character. And it dysfunctions you. And no, in Jesus' name, we're going to be whole and healthy and healed. And we're going to be beautiful and kind and good and generous. And when we suffer, because other people maybe don't are for us or do for us or be for us, we're happy. We're okay. Because we live in the fullness. Our roots are so deep into Christ himself by the power of the Holy Spirit that we draw continuously out of the nourishment of his divine supply that health and wholeness and well-being and kindness and goodness and mercy and grace that we can love those who hate us and bless those who curse us and be kind to people when they're not kind to us and be gracious to people when they're not gracious to us and be happy when everybody's not happy. And not being silly. I'm talking about keeping an inner goodness of heart when everybody else is not. And we're not subject to the atmosphere around us. And we're not influenced by it. I've seen this, folks. I've seen it in ministers who ought to know better, you would think. But they're just people like anybody else. And people come around them from their old world. And you could see it's not all died off yet because then begin to manifest these people's natures and these people's attitudes and ways of thinking and talking. And you could see the old root hasn't been uprooted yet. And the new root of Christ hasn't taken dominion yet because they manifest the old. No. Say no. No, no, we are not anymore that old man. The old man is dead and buried and gone. We are a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. No, and they could come around us, but we don't manifest anything but holy, heavenly, sweet, glorious Jesus. Yes, hear this in the name of the Lord. Because your roots are so strong in him that those old roots, they are dead. They have been eaten up by the new life. They've been consumed by the law of life in Christ. Romans 8 verse 2. The law of sin and death is consumed by the law of life in Christ. And you are a new person. When I go back to Holland, I am not Dutch. I'm not. I don't all of a sudden act like some other person. They're still there. No, I am who I am in Christ. Here, there, anywhere. Can you hear this in the name of Jesus? And God would have you live in such an authority. A little scripture before we close, Jen. I'd love to keep going, but we'll do it next week. We're in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Let me use my little amplified for that. Colossians chapter 2. How do I get my roots to grow, Pastor? I need more root in me. I'm not able to hold on to the manifestation of the Spirit very long. And I'm not able to keep the posture of his nature when I'm surrounded by others or when I'm surrounded by evil spirits. I begin to embody those dark spirits. I begin to feel what they feel. I'm not able to keep shining in the midst of them. So how can I get my roots to grow? You got to daily draw your nourishment for living as he lives from your union with him. How do I keep that union with him? You got to talk to him. You got to just keep talking to him. You got to keep listening to him. I need it. Oh, last year or the year before, I can't remember now, time goes so quick. Oh, something struck me and wounded me to the core. I mean, it crushed me, broke me, bum. And I quickly went home, there was nobody there, and I sit down and I take my Bible, right? I'm giving you a practical example, right? I mean, I was being crushed. So I'm just grab any scripture, anything, because, you grab any. That's why it's so good to on the line. So I just begin to read, and I couldn't stop the pain. So I was praying in tongues, right? That's why praying in tongues is so important, because sometimes, like it says in Romans 8, you don't know what to pray as you ought to, because of the weakness of your nature. But the Holy Spirit helps us with yearnings and groanings, or with wantings of the Spirit that you don't know how to embody, how to understand with your mind. But as you are in that groaning, the Father, it's like it connects you with the Father, and then He begins to work it all for good. So I'm reading, and I'm praying in tongues, and reading and praying in tongues. After about an hour, I just couldn't come out of it. I couldn't come out of it, right? So what do you do when you can't come out of that kind of a crushing, a breaking? Okay, so what did I do? I just thought, okay, I'm going to go mow the grass in the back of my house and put on my headphones and listen to Andrew Murray on humility, because I'd been listening to it. So I'm out there mowing the grass, listening. The mowing of the grass was to do something. So forget the mowing. I'll go on my bike, Richard. You know, or whatever. I don't know what what you do, but don't watch TV. But anyway, so I'm just mowing. I'm listening. And as I'm listening to these words, the weeping came. And I was weeping and weeping and weeping, and all that pain went into the bosom of my Father, and all that sweet goodness and mercy. And friends, a depth was broken up in me. A depth was broken up, and the roots went deeper. And ever since that time, there's a richness about me in the Lord that I didn't have before that. And that's an interesting phenomena. I can't say I can explain it all, but I can show you a lot of places in scriptures where you see this phenomena, that a brokenness comes for whatever reason. And then it's like the root is saying, I want greater depth in you. I want greater depth in you. And that is the time the Holy Spirit would work that depth in you. And often it takes that kind of suffering to get you to that place that otherwise, if most of us, when we're just normally breathing, we probably only use 20% of our lungs. I don't know, a doctor could tell you. But when you are having to run real hard, then you need more oxygen. And it's kind of like you're pulling from a greater depth. Or as he would say in Psalm 42, you know that psalm, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And in that verse, he says, deep is crying out to deep. My deep pain, my deep longing to feel your presence, my deep longing to need you, Lord. I'm being crushed, I'm being destroyed. Help me, Lord. Deep is crying out for a greater depth of God in us. Then your roots grow supernatural and your nature is changed. Can you hear me? So, in closing, verse 6 and 7 of Colossians 2. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourself in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. So, we're going to see the Lord root us and ground us in this amazing love. and your nature is going to be different. And where the enemy used to be able to pop you one, bum, you don't notice it if he did. You're able to bear up on anything and everything without failing. Love bears up on anything and everything. Where before you used to get hit, oh wow, I thought I could trust them. Now, love believes the best. You don't even have that question about people. You trust them. Faith works when there's love. But faith produces nothing when there's no love. Read it, 1 Corinthians. If you have faith to move mountains, but you have no love, it produces nothing. But when there's this love and you have this faith for people, even when they mess it up. It's really wonderful to live this way. It's good for marriages. It's good for parenting. Yeah? It's good for not allowing your family to be torn up by people's failings and weaknesses. It's good for us as a congregation to see the Lord help us grow. Grow not just in more people, but in people feeling safe with us. And not somebody who is new and happens to sit in your chair and you give them the whatever eye. And they kind of go, oh, did I do something wrong? Well, that's not love, is it? And then they go, you know, I must have sat in somebody's chair. I'm not going back to that church. Man, they make me feel like I was the bad one. And they don't come to church. And you did that. You did that. Wow. Can you hear me? Over what? A chair? No. So do we need to grow in love? Yes. And be stable in it so that we're more easy, sweet. Right? Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 27, I'm easy. I have taken that scripture for moi. Because sometimes I've not always been easy. And I want to be easy. So I tell Virginia, no problem, honey. Whatever. I'm easy. Loving Father, you're so gracious with us when we have not had enough root to hold your presence and hold your mindsets and hold your ways. And fallen back into our own ways. You're so gracious not to give up on us. You're gracious to keep feeding us so that our roots may grow and that we may become rooted and grounded in your love and emanate your nature and character so that even in old age we may be fruitful and that we may abound with your love and kindness. Father, I praise you for your grace today. That any and every one of us comes into a new place this year where we have suffered needlessly because our roots were not strong enough this year. Our natures are transforming and we are coming into wholeness and into well-being, and where we've had horrific struggles, we're through. We're in a new place. No more. The old is gone. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, God is good, hey? Next week we'll continue this message. Have a good night's sleep and be careful as you go down the stairs. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message today. We hope you feel encouraged, blessed, and strengthened for the week ahead. If there's anything you need, anything we can do at all to help and support you, please don't hesitate to contact us by visiting our website at www.lifechurchuk.org.